This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a Monday night, and I am here in our nation's capital, or just outside of our nation's capital, in Chevy Chase, Maryland. Yes, that's right.
So you've given the undisclosed location.
That's right. It was really never undisclosed. You just like saying that.
Well, I guess kind of that's Michael's thing. Well, when Michael's not here, I try to give a little Michael flavor for the
fans. I understand. Well, here's the thing about Michael. He's so legitimately rich that you have to lie to protect. You know, you don't want people to know just how successful he is. In my case, Michael has pretended since I joined the show that I live this very posh life. Being from Chevy Chase, Maryland, which sounds like, in fairness to Michael, it sounds like where some you would be very rich. However, it's not true in the case of my family, unfortunately. So I'm comfortable saying that I am from a very nice suburb known as Chevy Chase, Maryland. But I would like to start off today, if you will, by saying good evening to Don.
He's just a big cuddly bear.
And even though he's not here, I'd still like to say good evening to Michael.
Why?
Because I miss him.
Why?
Because even though he can be a mean guy.
And you are a gutless puke.
Right. Even though he can be that way, I still care for him deeply, Don. And I think, Michael, I think you do a great job on the show every day.
Okay.
Would you say, Don, that there's a chance that in some way, that okay from Michael is his best drop?
Okay.
But when it's used the right way, like the way you just used it, it is. But just out of nowhere, I don't know if it could stand
alone.
Well,
it's RJ. It's when RJ has him ask why a couple
why?
Of times.
Why?
Right. And then I give an answer. I go, because we love you.
Okay.
And it sounds like he's legitimately accepting the answer.
Yeah. When it's that way, it doesn't get any better.
All right, guys. Well, we've talked about it all day, but this is what ENN is. We rehash. We break things down to a fine, fine powder. Cam Newton has agreed to a deal with the New England Patriots. Let's start off by hearing from Adam Schefter and Dominique Foxworth on Get Up, who say there was not a big market for killer Cam Newton.
Cam didn't have interest elsewhere. That's why, period.
I don't think they knew. Maybe the other teams didn't know what Cam was willing to play for, because there's no way that these other teams wouldn't be realistically considering Cam Newton at this point.
And it is a really interesting point by Dominique, because, you know, they get him at a steal. They didn't draft a quarterback. They have a fourth-round pick, Jarrett Stidham from 2019, and Brian Hoyer as their depth chart currently. And now they see it as a low-risk, high-reward situation, modest contract, incentives, and you have Cam Newton. But, you know, Don, there was a market out there. A team as good as New Orleans wanted to have Jameis Winston as a backup quarterback. You would think at the very least there would be a serious market for Cam as a backup. Do you think people just either he put out that he had no interest in that, or teams didn't think he would want that?
I would think he wants to play to see if he can't parlay it into another big deal, right? So I have to think he put feelers out and let teams know if you're going to pick me, if you are interested in me to be a backup quarterback, to mentor your young quarterback, hold a clipboard. That's not what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to go out there and ball, and at 31 going on 32, parlay that into a contract. And if that were the case, how many teams out there could give him that opportunity? Jacksonville. Maybe. Minshew is had success there.
But they're not sure yet. It doesn't seem like that's certainly not locked.
Right, but you're not going to find out anything by playing Cam Newton for a year and then he bolts.
Correct.
Right? So you need a team that can take advantage of Cam Newton playing well in 2020. And that would probably leave you just the Patriots, right? Because maybe the Bears before their signings. But is there a team out there where Cam could win, the team would win, and then he can move on and make his big money? So he wasn't going to go anywhere that was going to have him be a backup and where there wasn't a legitimate chance of him being the number one starter. Maybe that really narrowed it down to really only the Patriots. There was no winners in it. The Patriots were probably the best team in need of a quarterback.
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure. I mean, there's the Chargers where they have Herbert, and he could have come in there and supplanted Tyrod Taylor. But again, that's a holding spot because, you know, they drafted a quarterback that high for a reason. There was Washington where the reunion with Ron Rivera could have happened, but obviously Washington's trying to give Haskins a go of it.
Right.
So it'll be very interesting to see what happens here. If he somehow resembles the guy who we saw at his best, boy, are the Patriots interesting.
Yeah, because you already know their defense is great.
And I believe that Cam Newton does not even have to be the best Cam Newton we've ever seen to be better than the Tom Brady that they had last year.
I was just going to say that. What's the percentage that Cam can play at that would still be better than Brady from last year? 75, I think, 70, 60? Is it goes with 60%?
I think 70. If you get 75% Cam Newton in 2020, 75% Cam Newton is better than 2019 100% Tom Brady. Right. And I know some people will be sick by that and they won't believe it, but I didn't see the same guy, regardless of what anyone tells me about that team being limited offensively. I will find out. We will get the answers if there's a season when we see what he does in Tampa Bay. Oh. By the way, good old Tampa Bay, pretty brilliant statement over the weekend when he decided to ignore requests by the league and have practice again with players in Florida and then put on his social media, the only thing to fear is fear itself. There's nothing to fear but fear itself, which people took as basically him sort of poo-pooing COVID-19.
I know DeMora Smith is not happy with him.
People are really still doing this business, huh?
God, did you... I don't even want to get into it.
Well, we haven't all day. Go ahead.
No, I was watching John Oliver last night, and he had a montage of all the... What town was that in Florida where they were all...
The Villages?
It's just crazy. It's just crazy. Nobody in the world enjoys freedom like I do.
No, you're a big freedom guy.
Love freedom. But I don't see where wearing a mask is that
by the way, you know what really
of our constitutional right.
You know what really blows my mind? And I want everyone, in the words of Michael K. Don, this is one of those moments where I need people to listen close, maybe lean into the radio.
Yeah, gather around.
Gather around. Come closer to the TV. Come. A lot of you watching and listening don't live in the city. I would say most people who actually listen to us, they commute, they're on Long Island, they're in New Jersey, they're in parts of the city where they're not really as in the thick of it as many of us are in the five boroughs. I'm in Maryland right now. Don, when you're in the suburbs, the mask thing, it's like nothing. When you go outside of your house, just in your yard, you don't have to think about it. You only have to think about when you're getting in the car to go somewhere. You just like your keys in your wallet, you go, let me bring my mask. Because when I go inside somewhere, I got to throw this thing on. For people to be in this situation where they're in the suburbs complaining, I have now the direct apples to apples comparison, Don. I spent the first 4 months in the heart of Manhattan, where you cannot walk your dog without putting your mask on. The second you step foot outside of my apartment, I cannot go in my hallway without a mask. Still not a big deal. But to think that there are people complaining who live out here about the Mets, it's nothing. What are you complaining about?
But
do you, fam? If you want to complain about that, knock yourself out. I'm going to go with this mask. And I don't care what the stats, I don't care what anyone says about anything. I'm covering this mouth. This is where my bread gets buttered.
And it affects
that in my store, Sack Exchange.
Like New Jersey, things have been, you know, getting better. But Governor Murphy today said indoor dining will no longer resume on Thursday. He was hoping Thursday we would be able to go inside.
Can't do it.
To dine. He is not going to allow that to happen on Thursday. And his reasoning was, we have planned to loosen restrictions this week. However, after COVID-19 spikes in other states, driven by in part the return of indoor dining, we have decided to postpone indoor dining indefinitely. So even in the places where it's doing well, you know, we're paying attention. We're seeing that you got to be careful. So
are you saying that he got new information, processed that information, and changed his opinion as a result of that information?
And Governor Cuomo have been very transparent in saying that all of these reopenings are under consideration. Because you gotta read the room, right? You gotta see what's happening. And they can put all the restrictions they want on people from Florida coming into New York, or people that from New York visiting Florida coming back and quarantine themselves for 2 weeks. There's nothing you can do about people that decide to drive.
Right.
Right.
Well, they try at the borders to do stuff, but it's tough.
But it's very difficult to do. So you open up dining halls and somebody, you know, coming back from a trip to one of the states that's on a spike. Listen, we just got to be careful. We just got to go slow. And so far, hey, Peter, I went out Saturday to eat for the first time.
Oh, you guys did? Where'd you go?
There's a place, Big Shots. My buddy's band, Marty and the Martians, were playing. And they took our temperature before we went in.
Oh, wow.
And we were at a table that was kind of like sectioned off by glass on either side. And also we just had plastic utensils and cups.
Okay.
So there was no, diningware or any kind of silverware to have to worry about. And, you know, I guess we'll see how it goes, but you know, you had to wear the mask if you got up from the table, but at your table, you were able to take the mask off if you wanted. And, it was outside. So there was no inside, but it was good. It was the first time that I had done anything since this all started. And so you just go a little slow. But if that gets taken away, that'll stink. But I'm sure there's reasons for it. I mean, I don't think anybody is intentionally trying to take away our freedoms, Peter. It's for our own good.
I'm just scared of the whole fall and winter being as bad. It's not that I'm some like smart, educated, or even, I don't know, even particularly risk averse person. I don't want the winter. I don't want to be doing this until for a full year. So my logic was always, if we really tried our best to, and you know what? You know what I don't want to hear, Don? A lot of the people who really wanted to get back to work, I think that's working out. I think people going back to their businesses is working. I think the reason if we go back, you know what it's going to be, Don? It's going to be people refusing to not socialize and drink together. I think there's a way for people who own their businesses to open their stores up and have people come shop and work in a socially distanced way. What I'm seeing are these pictures and videos from bars where it's people just want to drink and party together. It's like that really, to me, that's not a good enough reason. I understand people fighting because they really want to get out there and earn a living. I feel for those people. For people to be fighting because they need to have a drink at a bar, I'm sorry, fam.
We've all made like amazing sacrifices over the last 3+ months. You know, do you really want to have to go back into that wormhole for another 3 months because we just acted stupid for a weekend? We're going to figure a way out of this. You know, we're just going to have to, you know, just be patient. And that's why I get frustrated about what Michael's saying about these ballplayers. Well, they're young and they're going to want to go out. No, don't be stupid. I understand people that got to go to work and the economy. I get all that.
Listen,
I understand how important that is.
Kids are figuring out. High school kids are figuring out how to get by in spite of the fact that they lost the last few months of their senior year. They may have lost beach week. They may have lost their prom, their graduation. People are figuring it out. Everyone's learning to make sacrifices. You can't tell me that young ball players can't figure that out too. I refuse to accept that. Don, we mentioned it earlier. I won't spend a lot of time on it here, but yes, the Patriots were fined $1.1 million and lost a third-round draft pick after the situation with that film crew who was filming in Cincinnati. The decision was confirmed to ESPN earlier today, of course, coming right on the heels of the announcement of the Cam Newton signing. It was all based on a December 6th game between the Bengals and the Browns where the filming was done. In addition to that, the Patriots TV production crews will not be allowed to shoot any games during the 2020 season. So, depending how you look at it, either a harsh or very, very lenient punishment. Let's hear from Fred Van Vliet of the world champion Raptors. He had some interesting thoughts about the timing of this restart.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks, man. And it's terrible timing, but that's been 2020 for us. So I think, I mean, look, obviously we all know the right thing to do is to not play, to take a stand, to, you know, morally, yes, that makes sense. But life goes on. We're all young black guys, and none of us want to give any money back, and I don't think that we should, and I think that that money can be used in many different ways, and this is not going to end this summer regardless, or in these next couple months. This issue, racial injustice, social injustice, police brutality, all of these things are not ending anytime soon, and so our fight is long term. And so that was part of my decision. But if the league or more of my guys would have came together and said we didn't want to play, I would have sat out as well. I wouldn't have fought it. But I think most of us decided to play, and it's something that we'll have to live with. But I trust that my heart's in the right place, and I'm doing enough to really make change.
I mean, is that what we said, Don? That was kind of what we thought a lot of players' logic might end up where it might end up landing.
Hey, nobody said that they should go into the season without a thought of it maybe not being the right thing. I mean, I think taking a pause and talking about it was the right thing to do. But to make a rash decision just not to play, okay, well, what's the end game in that? Because when are you going to play? Between the virus and social injustice, where's the end game? We don't know the end. We don't know the finish line in either of these two things. But the one thing for sure is the injustice part, that finish line is way, way down the road. So if you're not
further down the road
season,
than COVID,
right? Then when will it be okay? You know, you could end up talking yourself into where none of these things that you never play again.
Wilson Chandler of the Nets is going to opt out of the restart to remain with his family, including his grandmother who raised him. The Nets are going to sign Justin Anderson at forward to replace him. But he's putting the health of his family first. And he said the Nets were cool and understanding, and that's that. Rudy Gobert, the first player that we knew of having COVID-19, says he's still having trouble smelling 3 months after his COVID-19 diagnosis. He did an interview with a French newspaper, and he said, taste has returned, but smell is still not 100%. I can smell, but not from afar. I spoke to a specialist who told me that it could take up to a year to return to normal. And said that he still feels, quote, strange things. This
scary.
Is so different for everyone. Just really, really different. It's funny because that smell thing is something that people who have TBIs, traumatic brain injuries, often complain about. That's something that goes away, is smell. So interesting there.
And the problem with no smell and no taste is then there's no appetite, right? Like, so it's difficult for these people to eat under those circumstances, and then that adds a whole nother layer to your issues, right?
Absolutely. Now real quick, let's get into some Diamond Notes on the Michael K Show, which is brought to you by Queens County Savings Bank, a division of New York Community Bank. The Minnesota Twins plan to keep two coaches away from games because of COVID fears. They won't allow their bullpen coach, Bob McClure, who's 68, or Bill Evers, who's 66, to work games during this season because of concerns related to coronavirus, according to ESPN. It's McClure's first season as the team's bullpen coach, Ever's second season as a major league coach. And Don, that's one of the interesting things about baseball is You know, while we might have chuckled at the Mets bringing in a coach who was 130 years old, by and large, there are a lot of coaches, bullpen coaches, bench coaches, who it's not that unusual to be a coach in your mid to late 60s. That's kind of part of the game.
Regan in his 80s, that was a little excessive.
It was a bit extreme to bring someone
Dusty Baker's
in
his 70s.
Right.
I mean, listen, it's not just baseball. I mean, Bill Belichick's what, 68?
Yeah. Sparky Anderson's still managing. He's 116.
If he was still with us, he would try to get onto the field.
How old is Sparky Anderson?
Well, I think he passed.
He died in 2010 at 76.
God, he looks 76.
I cannot believe.
With the 76 Reds.
Hold on. There's no way on God's green earth that Sparky Anderson was 76 in 2010, Don. I thought Sparky Anderson legit was old when I was 9.
All right, wait a minute. Let's do the math on this. Then he died at the age of 76 in 2010. So that means in 1990, he was 56 years old.
In 90, right? He looked 80.
All right. So then that means he was 46 in 1980, which would then make him 42 in 1976. Take a look at him as the Reds managers. There's one of the things that came out of the 76 series is even though the Reds swept the Yankees in four games, Peter, they couldn't get Thurman Munson out. So there's like film footage of him going and making a pitching change, like complaining they can't get Thurman Munson out. And you look at that and you tell me that's a 42-year-old.
Oh, my God. No. 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 No.
I don't know whether it's because of like our youth, like so we remember the way Sparky looked.
Hold on. So real quick, here he is. Remember, he died at 76 years old in 2010, Don.
Right.
Don, here's a picture of him when he's still Detroit's manager. So you're telling me he's younger than 76 here, Don?
I'm a little bit of delay because I got direct TV.
I'll hold him up. I'll leave Sparky up here for a little bit.
So is that from like, let's just say that's from 84, right? So he's 50.
Come on.
He's 50 in that picture.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
I mean, even in like normal stuff, this is what happens like when you get older and you start thinking like people, you look at old television from back in the 50s and the 60s and you like I'm 52 years old. So if you look at somebody that's 52 years old, like on I Love Lucy, they're
Don,
like,
you're probably the same age as Sparky in this picture right here that I'm holding up now.
Now, you could be honest with me.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I look in the mirror and I see myself, you know, like a 12-year-old.
Right.
Right now, you're holding up the Sparky Anderson. Anybody on television, do I look the same age as him? He's probably younger.
I know. I can't accept
because I gotta see how old he was, how long he. I know he was on he managed the 84 Tigers.
Well, this moment talking about the Twins and the history of Sparky Anderson is our diamond notes for today, which is brought to you by Queens County Savings Bank, a division of New York Community Bank, serving our communities since 1859. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Where's he when he managed? Because you go to Baseball Reference, you got to go to the manager portion of it because it tells me about him being a player. But how long was he manager of? Because he's got to be older than that. All right, here we go. All right, this makes me feel a little bit better.
All right, here we go.
He managed the Tigers. He started in 79. He was 45. And then he retired in 95 at 61. So let's hope that's a picture of him at 61.
But even still at 61.
But I bet you if you found a picture of him at 48, it probably didn't look that much different. Can you find a Reds picture?
I did. It still doesn't make sense.
Did you hold up the Reds picture?
Oh, I didn't hold up the Reds picture?
Up the Tigers picture.
The Reds picture is still tremendous. People need to see this too. You won't believe it. Yeah, here's a Reds picture, Don.
All right.
So and he was what age here?
If that's his last year with the Reds, let's just say it's his last year with the Reds. He's 44.
I'm 40. You're telling me me and him would be hanging out together. He's younger than my brother.
And that,
it's impossible.
And let's face it, Peter, we're just guessing that that's 1978. That could be a picture. That could be a picture from 10 years earlier.
Oh my gosh.
He was Red's manager from 1970 to 78. So from 36 to 44. So in that picture, he's somewhere between the age of 36 and 44.
It's unbelievable. Now
he looks 83. So I mean, God bless him. But
you want to talk all-time baseball? Well, today there was a celebration for the 100-year anniversary of the Negro Leagues.
That's right.
Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, all tipped their cap. A campaign that was based around that, tippingyourcap.com, where people could tip their caps to the Negro Leagues to celebrate 100 years. Hank Aaron involved, Derek Jeter, Colin Powell, Michael Jordan, and many more contributing today to celebrate the history and legacy of those players. Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson,
so
Jackie
many
Robinson.
Great players that never got a chance to play in the big leagues. And just think of the crime of that. And some people think, you know, you're never going to know officially, right? But that Josh Gibson could have been as good as any player that ever played Major League Baseball and never got a chance to.
Lakers are finalizing a deal with J.R. Smith now that Avery Bradley's out. J.R. is 34 years old, and he'll get another crack at a championship with LeBron. This is interesting. Ryan Zimmerman has played every single game that the Washington Nationals have ever played. However, if the season starts, it will come to an end. That's right. He will not play during his 16th season. Both him and Joe Ross have opted out of the abbreviated 2020 campaign. They're uncomfortable with the health risk posed to players. And two key players, Zimmerman had huge moments during the playoffs and the World Series, but also, of course, emotionally, Zimmerman and Ross, big parts of that team are out, according to GM Mike Rizzo.
What's his number? Like, how many games consecutive has he played?
It's 15 seasons. It's a whole lot of games.
Yeah, Cal is in good shape.
Cal's fine. And Don, I know you're not a huge fan of golf, but
that would be the category that you put me in, yeah.
But I would say that this moment during the Travelers over the weekend could add Ian Poulter to your new list of favorite players on the tour.
You know what? In any place on the planet, in any time in our world's history, that's funny.
RJ, one more time. Let's go back in time to yesterday. He really went for it, Don. You can tell he's putting in some effort there.
Yeah.
There's some danger. There's a little bit. He was playing a dangerous game, I'll be honest with you.
We've all had this happen where you have to make that decision, like, and exactly how much are you going to let go? All right? And then you make the decision that not only do I not care how much, I'm going to see how much I can force it. Like, I think there was some forcing there. That didn't slip out. That was completely intentional.
It feels like the only thing that could have been better is if the Travelers was being aired on NBC and they could have played this NBC theme song.
It's going to be back. NBC's getting it back.
That's right.
So Fox got out of their deal.
Maybe John Tush will be a part of it. That'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening. That's how you do it when you're going to come back. Thank you.
That was terrific.
Thank you.
You do a good ENN, man.
I know it's not Andrew. I know. He's better. But I do the best I can.
I may or may not do that just to tweak you a little bit.
Just take the L.
No, I believe it. I heard some things that were said. I see him every time.
No, because I've had it.
No, I understand.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.